Take your Bibles this evening and we're going to open up to the book of Luke, Luke chapter number 24. Luke chapter number 24. It's going to be, in a way, I guess you could say, if you look at it that way, it's going to be a continuation of this morning. All right, let's pray. We better get some help here tonight. Lord, we do thank you so much for the day and all that you do for us. Thank you for loving us and dying for us and saving us and giving us all that you do. We ask as we preach tonight, Lord God, you bless the message. Open our hearts and minds to your word. May it be fruitful, beneficial in our lives. And may we be able to do something with it, not just let it sit idle in our own hearts and in our own minds. And Lord, we thank you for each one of these that came back tonight. And do pray that you might speak to hearts here tonight, help those in need. Lord God, help encourage those maybe tonight, especially in regards to this topic of studying their Bible and getting a little closer to the Lord Jesus Christ. We do pray that you bless, Lord God, all these that are traveling, Brother Welder and them as they preach tonight in Colorado, and the traveling they'll do this week and the hunting that'll be done. We do pray that you bless that. And Lord, we do ask also that you would just continue to help us and show us the things we can do here in our own church and our own communities, and how we can best serve you, and that you might be pleased in what we do. We thank you for all that you do. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, taking our Bibles tonight, we're going to look at Luke chapter number 24. Now, this is familiar for probably most of you that have been in church for any length of time. This is where the Lord Jesus Christ, of course, has been resurrected from the dead. Verses 1 through 12, we see the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. We're going to take up reading tonight in verse number 13. Verse number 13, you deal with the two disciples that are on the road to Emmaus. Now, you say, I gave you a little bit of prelude. I said this kind of will be a continuation of what we looked at this morning, kind of, so to speak. Now, this morning, in our Sunday school study, for those adults that were in that, we dealt with the topic of compassion. You know, something that is greatly missing today in our Christianity, but something that's greatly needed. We dealt with how to have compassion, and one of those key ways was to study the Word of God. We'll see that again tonight. But in our sermon this morning, we really dealt with where's the Lamb and figuring out where is the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, if you're going to put the Lord Jesus Christ first in your life, if you're going to put Him first in your service, if you're going to put Him first in all those things that you do, whether you have potential or zeal or knowledge of the Bible, whatever you have, if you're going to put Him first, then you got to know some things about Him. And I want you to look tonight. We're going to look at some people. Number one, these folks here, they for a brief moment, I realize that Jesus withheld their eyes from knowing Him. Now, I understand that, you know. I understand that there's a special circumstance here. Their eyes were withholding, and they didn't know the Lord Jesus Christ when He first appeared to them. And this is after the resurrection. But then, if you'll notice, when there's some things that are significant before they knew who He was, and then there's going to be some things significant after they knew who He was. But the key is going to be in the breaking of bread, and we're going to see that tonight. And so I want to preach to you a little bit, just a thought here. Jesus is revealed by breaking bread. Now in our Bibles, in verse number 13, we'll take off and we'll read there. And behold, two of them, that's two of the disciples, went that same day to a village called Emmaus, which was from Jerusalem about three score furlongs. That'd be about 60 furlongs. And they talked together of all the things which had happened. And it came to pass that while they communed together and reasoned, Jesus Himself drew near and went with them. But their eyes were holding that they should not know Him. And He said unto them, what manner of communications are these that ye have one to another as ye walk and are sad? And one of them, whose name was Cleopas, answering, said unto Him, art thou only a stranger in Jerusalem? Hast thou not known the things which are come to pass in these days? And He said unto them, what things? He knows exactly what they're talking about. But he's playing it smart here. And He said unto them, what things? And they said unto Him, concerning Jesus of Nazareth, which was a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and all the people, and how the chief priests and our rulers delivered Him to be condemned to death and have crucified Him. But we trusted that it had been He which should have redeemed Israel. And besides all this, today is the third day since these things were done. Yea, and certain women also of our company made us astonished, which were early at the sepulchre. And they found not His body, and they came, saying that they had also seen a vision of angels, which said that He was alive.
And certain of them which were with us went to the sepulchre and found it even so as the women had said, but they saw him not. Then he said unto them, O fools and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them all the scriptures, in all the scriptures, the things concerning himself. That was most likely the greatest Bible lesson that was probably ever given on this face of this earth. I mean, I've thought about this passage every time I read it, and I've thought, boy, could you imagine standing there and having the Lord Jesus Christ explain the Old Testament to you from the viewpoint of Him? I imagine, boy, I mean, there's probably, these two guys, they probably got so much they couldn't even fathom it all. And I know as we read on down, it caused their hearts to burn within them. But notice here, and so he began at Moses and the prophets and expounded unto them all the things in the scriptures concerning himself. Verse 28, and they drew nigh into the village, whither they went. And he made as though he would have gone further. But they constrained him, saying, abide with us, for it is toward evening, and the day is far spent. And he went in to tarry with them. And it came to pass, as he sat at meat with them, he took bread and blessed it and brake it and gave to them. And their eyes were opened, and they knew him, and he vanished out of their sight. Did you see it? Their eyes were opened. He said, well, the Lord Jesus Christ did. I realize that. But I think spiritually here tonight we can get a connection between the fact that their eyes were holding until they broke bread with the Lord Jesus Christ. And they knew Him and He vanished out of their sight. And they said one to another, did not our hearts burn within us while He talked with us by the way and while He opened to us the Scriptures? Boy, I bet they did. And they rose up the same hour and returned to Jerusalem. And found the 11 gathered together and them that were with them, saying, the Lord is risen indeed and hath appeared unto Simon. And he told them what, and they told what things were done in the way and how he was, here it is again, and how he was known of them in breaking of bread. See, it's there twice. It's there for you. There's a connection between breaking the bread of life, the Lord Jesus Christ, breaking the bread of life, the Word of God, and having the Lord Jesus Christ revealed unto you. Now let's just look for a minute here at some things before we get into this. First off, I want to ask you a question. How well do you, and it's hard to answer this question, how well do you really know the Lord Jesus Christ? I venture to say that if saved people today, if they really took stock of that question, I venture to say that very few of us here tonight, have a really good, real foundational knowledge and personal knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Most of us just have the foundational knowledge. Say, what do you mean by that? Well, we know who Jesus Christ is. We know who He was. We know what He did by the Word of God. We know the fact that He died for our sins. And we know the fact that He is our personal Savior. If you're saved and born again here tonight, then hey, you know what? You personally know the Lord. I understand you personally know the Lord. You know? But I mean, think about it. I personally know each one of you. But there's some of you that I really know a whole lot better than others. Same way with me. I think everybody in the building tonight personally knows me. If not, you will before the end of the night. But I mean, you know me. But I mean, some people know me a little better than others. I mean, let's just do an demonstration. And junior church kids, y'all better raise your hand because you should know the answer to this. Who in here can tell me what my favorite color is? Paige threw her hand up. We have a test on that in junior church. All right. See? So, I mean, you see how many hands went up? Do you really see? I mean, we do not even really know one another, and yet how should we know the Lord Jesus Christ? See what I mean? Hey, I think you want to change Christianity in America. Hey, they need to just learn about God. You want to change the way you live your life? Hey, get a more personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what we were talking about this morning. Hey, it's good to know about service. It's good to be active in service, but it's better to know the Lord Jesus Christ. Now notice this here. It's very important. Take your Bibles. Let's look at a couple verses about this, kind of setting up the message here for tonight. Look over in Philippians. Philippians chapter number 3. Most of you are very familiar with this passage of Scripture. This man wrote 13, possibly 14 books of the New Testament. Do you think he knew the Lord? He knew Him pretty good, but look at what he said. Paul said in Philippians chapter number 3, many of you know this verse, it's very familiar. Philippians chapter 3, look at verse number 7. Here, hey, you say, I want to know the Lord Jesus Christ. I want to have that personal relationship. Hey, I want to know Him. You know, it's good to read about some of them old missionaries or some of them old, hymn writers like Fanny Crosby and all the things that she did for the Lord and all the things that great, people did for the Lord. How do you think they did those things? They got a personal knowledge, not just a foundational knowledge, not just knowing who He was, not just knowing Him as Savior. They knew Him as friend. They knew Him as their best companion. Hey, you realize, some of you, I mean, especially after years of marriage, you would say, that you really know your wife or your husband, right? But you know what? I mean, I wonder, you say, well, I could never know the Lord Jesus Christ like that. Why not? He's just as real as your wife. He's just as real as your spouse. And I'm going to tell you something better. If your spouse, especially men, you agree with this probably, if your wives would write a book and tell you exactly what they expect out of you, wouldn't that make it a whole lot easier? I mean, that'd make it simple, right? Do this, don't do that. But on this day, you can do this, but you can't do that. But now on the special, you know what I'm saying? Lay out all those little things. You know what I'm talking about, right? I mean, wouldn't it be easy if you had a book all about your wife? Or you had a book all about your husband? For the most part, husbands are pretty simple, right, guys? You might, I don't know, maybe some are more complex than the others. They may be hard to know. But I mean, think about it. You've got a book that deals with the Lord Jesus Christ. You've got the fact that He dwells personally inside of you. You've got the fact that He desires fellowship with you each and every day. We really, when we look at it, we have no excuse for not knowing the Lord Jesus Christ. I imagine many people are going to get to heaven and they're going to be like, wow. I mean, think about that. I mean, it's going to be like a brand new introduction when some people get to heaven in regards to knowing the Lord Jesus Christ. Say, we joke about that, but that's very sad. Notice here, Paul says in Philippians chapter 3, but what things were gained to me, those things I counted loss for Christ, yea, doubtless. And I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Jesus, of Christ Jesus, my Lord. You know why we don't know Him? Because we have a hard time with that right there. How did Paul get to know Him? I count all things but loss for the knowledge of the excellency of Jesus Christ. Boy, that's hard, isn't it? I mean, that's like that compassion this morning in Sunday school. That's hard. Hey, it costs some things here. But what things were gained to me, those I counted lost for Christ. Yea, doubtless, I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus, my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, but do count them but dung, that I may win Christ and be found in Him, and not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. Notice here, that I may know Him. You say, Paul knew Him. He didn't know Him like he wanted to know Him. See, you know what? The first thing is, we don't even have a desire to know Him. We want to know Him well enough to be able to say, Lord, I'm in help. Give me some help. Give me some mercy. Give me some grace. Okay, thank you, Lord. I'll be back later. That's how we want to know Him. Let me ask you something. You know what's amazing? You know, there's even a thought that we know Him and we really don't. Let me ask you something. How many of you really, truly knew your parents when you were growing up? You thought you knew them, right? I mean, when you were a kid, you thought, boy, I got my mom and I got my dad figured out. I know what makes them tick. I know how to be on their good side. I know how to be on their bad side. I got it all. I know them. I know what they think. I know. And then as you get older and you start having more adult conversations with your parents, then you start to realize, you know what? I didn't really know my mom and dad at all. There's a lot of things. I mean, there's a lot of things about your parents you probably don't know. But you know what? We think we know. Say, why? Well, I realize as you get older, you know what? There's things your parents will tell you as you get older. Why? Because you're more mature and can handle them. There's things that kids don't need to know about their parents. Say, why? It's not beneficial. Say, oh, well, they're hiding things from me. No, you'll hide things from your kids. when you get there. You know what? It's the same way with God. Hey, there are things that the more you live, the more you go through, the harder time you have in life. You know what? There are some things that once you've gone through that, you know what God can do? He can say, okay, now I can let you know a little bit more about me. Now I can give you some deeper things. Now I can show you some things that you couldn't understood when you were just a young Christian. And you see, that's what Paul desired. He had that. He said, I count all things but loss. Why? That I may know Him. Now that he wanted to know two things there. That I may know Him and the power of His resurrection and what? And the fellowship of His sufferings being made conformable unto His death. That's why we do not know the Lord Jesus Christ. We are not willing to be made partakers or fellowship of His sufferings. Well, you really want to know somebody? You go suffer with them. You'll learn about them. Well, I don't want to suffer with people. That's why we don't have compassion, right? Talked about it this morning in Sunday school. But you see, hey, Paul, you see, look, the great, well, you know, I don't like to rate Christians because, you know what, Paul got to experience some things and got to be a part of something. You know what, God may not have it out. You know, a lot of people say, well, I could never be like a Paul. Well, I know God may not want you to be a missionary. He may not want you to write 14 books of the Bible. He may not want you to travel all over the world and preach. But you know what, if you do exactly what God has you to do, in God's eyes, you're just as big as Paul. But yet we still consider Paul one of the greatest Christians that ever lived. So you know what I mean when I say that. I'm not trying to elevate him over us. You know, I'm not trying to do that. But notice here. But notice, one of the greatest Christians that ever lived, his desire was what? To know the Lord Jesus Christ. You know what? That wasn't just his desire. Look over, if you would, in the book of, look over in Ephesians. Just backing up there a couple of books before we go back to Luke. But in Ephesians, you know what, Paul, that wasn't just his desire. Personally, that was his desire for the church at Ephesus. You know what? I believe that's Paul's desire for us. You say, why? Because Paul did have some knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ that you and I may never have. And you know what? He knew how beneficial it was. He knew how helpful it was. He knew exactly what it was all about. Look here in Ephesians chapter number 1. We go to Ephesians chapter 1. Look at verse 15. Wherefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and love unto all the saints. These people knew the Lord. They had faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. They're saved. But you know what? There's more to knowing Jesus Christ than salvation. There's more to knowing Jesus Christ than just reading His Bible. There's more to knowing the Lord Jesus Christ than just calling on Him and asking Him for help and prayer. He says, wherefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and the love unto all the saints, cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him. See it? Hey, Paul's prayer was that they would have knowledge in the revelation of the Lord Jesus Christ and of God. Hey, that was what Paul desired for his converts. You know what? That ought to be our desire, not just for ourselves, but for every person we know. So many times we deal with people, we lead them to the Lord, and then we just turn them astray. You know, and churches do that left and right. Hey, Paul had a desire for those that got saved. He said, hey, I want them to know the knowledge and the revelation of the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 18, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of His calling. And what is the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints. And what is the exceeding greatness of His power to usward. You know what? You know, people talk about, boy, why don't Christians today have the power that the old time Christians? Because we don't take time to get to know Him. We don't even know Paul. What did Paul say? I want to know Him and the power of His resurrection. Well, I mean, hey, you know what? I mean, you say, well, it's just a different time. I don't believe that. I believe it's the way in which we treat the Lord Jesus Christ. It's amazing, you know, people talk about having revival. Hey, back in the early 1900s, when them old preachers went into a town and preached, folks got saved, you know what happened? They would shut the beer places down, the taverns, the saloons. They'd close them out. Houses of prostitution, whatever you want to call them, those would close down. You say why? Because there was a power of God in the men's lives. Hey, when they would preach, hey, people would just flock to the altar. You know, hey, people, there was a power of God. What is it here? He says in verse 19, and what is the exceeding greatness of His power to usward who believe according to the working of His mighty power? See, hey, how do you get a hold of that? It's through the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I venture to say, we don't have it. We have a hard enough time just staying away from sin in our own lives, let alone trying to deal with anybody else. Say, why? It's a lack of a knowledge of Him. Paul said that I may know Him and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His sufferings, being made conformable unto His death. That's a hard thing. But hey, that was Paul's desire. That ought to be our desire. Let's go back over here to Luke. Let's look at these disciples. Because it's first, it's interesting. They didn't know Him at first. You know what? It's amazing. You say, how in the world could they have walked with Him for as long as they did and not know Him? I realize their eyes were holding. I realize that Jesus could keep His appearance. I understand that. But we take a spiritual application. How in the world could somebody have been saved 10, 15, 20 years and not really know the Lord Jesus Christ? Happens every day. And one of the biggest problems is just simply going to be the breaking of bread. Take your Bibles, look back over here in Luke. Let's look at this thing here. In Luke chapter number 24, let's look at the conditions of the disciples. Maybe somebody here tonight is having these same conditions show up in their own lives. Let's look at them. Now notice here, now they were walking together. Why they were going to Emmaus, I have no idea. I don't have no clue, don't know what they were doing, don't know what they planned on doing there. But nonetheless, the Bible says that's where they were headed. And they walked together and they talked to the things which happened. And it came to pass that while they communed together and reasoned, I read verse 14 and 15. Hey, you know what? That's our everyday life. I listen to people. You know what people do? They get together and they talk. You know, hey, did you see that about Syria? Did you see that about Turkey shooting down the Russian jet? Hey, did you see that about old Donald Trump leading in the polls? What do you think of that? I can't figure that out to save my life. That's been one of the questions I've heard over and over again over the last 2 or 3 months. Hey, did you see about that guy that shot up at the abortion clinic there or the Planned Parenthood, whatever it is called? I mean, we talk. Isn't that what we do? I'm not knocking it. I'm not saying it's bad. We talk about the events of the day. That's where these people were. You know what? We get so caught up in the events of the day, we wouldn't know Jesus if He showed up and started asking questions. A lot of times. Think about it. He showed up and He said, hey, what are y'all talking about? And they're like, man, are you a stranger? Do you not know what's going on? That's how we talk to folks that don't, you know, would pay attention to the news. You know, where you been? Living under a rock or something, you know? I mean, notice here. Hey, you know what? This is a picture of us many times. We get so compassed and so concerned with the things of this world. Hey, we forget all about the Lord Jesus Christ. But notice, nonetheless, He drew Himself near and went with them, and their eyes were holding that they should not know Him. Now, they were discussing, and their eyes were holding that they should not know Him. And then notice here, I want you to look at their countenance. Jesus, hey, Jesus said something here. He said, what manner of communications are these that you have one to another as you walk and are sad? You say, well, I know why they were sad. They had just lost the Lord Jesus Christ. I understand that. But didn't He tell them before He died He was going to resurrect in 3 days? Matter of fact, women had already been to the tomb that morning and they didn't believe Him. Women had been to the tomb and they had said, hey, Jesus is not here, but He's risen. Look down there if you would, verse 22. And they said, yea, certain women also of our company made us astonished, which were early at the sepulchre, when they found not His body. They came saying that they had also seen visions of angels, which said that He was alive. Well then, why in the world would you still be sad? You know what? They had a lack of faith in somebody else's testimony. You know what? You know what? You know what'll kill us? It gets a hold of every one of us, I think, many times. We find somebody that says they really know God. Oh, they don't really know God. Why do you say that? Because you don't know God. And you think, well, if I don't really know Him like I should, there's no way they do. I know what happened to them. I know them. They did not believe the testimony of others. You know what? A lot of times some people try to come and they try to help us. Well, God won't do that for me. God won't help me like He helped you. God won't allow me to do those things. He might allow you to do those things, but He won't allow me to do those things. Isn't that how we respond many times? Isn't that how we think sometimes? You know why? You say, why? We fail to believe the testimony of others. You know what? People say, well, hey, you know, this day and age, people live. I mean, we say, you know what? Hey, you need to concentrate on getting through school and getting a hold of God and finding out what God wants you to do with your life and then worry about marriage and women and men and all that. Oh, that won't work for me. It's worked for countless others. You know, parents will go to other parents and they'll say, hey, how do I raise my child? How do I deal with this situation right here? How do I advise? You know, they'll say, well, we did it what the Bible said, and it said do it like this. You say, oh, that won't work for me. That won't work in my situation. Aren't we just like these guys? I know it's a little different scenario. We're not on the road to Emmaus that I know of. Is there a town in Texas called Emmaus Dole? Not that Dole knows of, all right. But notice here. Hey, we're just like them. Hey, they had been to the sepulchre and they had seen that there was no body. They had talked to the angels, but these guys were still what? They were sad and they were still discouraged. I mean, look at their attitude in this thing. Hey, look over there in verse number, verse number 21. But we trusted. They no longer trusted. That's past tense. But we trusted that it had been He which should redeem Israel. And besides all this, today is the third day since these things were done. Hey, they had lost their faith. You know what? Hey, one of the reasons that we do not know the Lord Jesus Christ is because we lose our faith in the things that He's already shown us and the things that He's already given us sometimes. We're just like these disciples. That won't work for me. Hey, that really didn't happen to you. No, I don't really believe that. The preacher said that it worked. I just don't see it happening. You mean a devotion and with our kids at home will help them? Sure can't hurt them, can it? I mean, you think about these things. No, that won't work. You mean I could take my Bible to work and read it on my lunch hour? Well, that won't work. I'm too frazzled in my mind to even think about reading the Bible. I just need to relax while I'm on my lunch break. I understand that. I used to sleep during mine. I did. I'd go upstairs and we had an office and I was the only one that went up there. I'd watch Andy Griffith and I Love Lucy and take a nap. That's a dream job, right? I had it, and then my boss, he would come back and come bouncing up the stairs. I'd always hear him. He'd wake me up. I'd jump up, and I'd say, well, time to go back to work, and there I'd go. You know what? He'd say, well, I'd have been better off reading my Bible. But that's the way we think, isn't it not? I mean, hey, look at these things. How are you going to know the Lord Jesus Christ? Take your Bibles. Let's look. Hey, we are just like these guys. They were sad. They had lost their faith. They were uncertain of the testimony of others. Now, I want you to look at something. What did Jesus tell them? Look at verse 25. Then He said unto them, O fools and slow of heart to believe all the prophets have spoken. They were not even trusting in the Word. Not only did they not believe the testimony of others, they weren't trusting in the Word of God. See it there? Say, boy, what a mess. These two, boy, they'd gotten in a mess quickly. He had only been dead 3 days. Let me ask you something. When Mary and Joseph lost Jesus, how many days had they been gone? Well, at first they'd been gone one when they discovered He missed them. And it took them, what, 3 days to get back to Him? It always takes longer. Hey, when you decide, hey, you know what? You know what you'll realize? If you desire like Paul and you say, you know what? I'm going to do whatever it takes to know the Lord Jesus Christ. You'll start finding out, boy, I didn't know Him at all. I really had no clue what was going on. You didn't even realize how far you were from Him. Say, why? Just like these disciples. They never dreamed. I guarantee you, they never dreamed Jesus would show up and walk alongside of them and they wouldn't be able to see it. They wouldn't be able to know it. Now look at this. And He even said, O fools, slow of heart and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into His glory? And in beginning at Moses and all the prophets, He expounded unto them in all the Scriptures the things concerning Himself. And guess what? They still didn't know it was Him. Say, what brought about the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ? Look down there in verse number 30. And it came to pass, as He sat at meat with Him, He took bread and blessed it and brake it and gave to them, and their eyes were opened. And when they retold the story over there in verse number 35, and they told what things were done in the way, and how He was known of them in the breaking of bread. Hey, when you get a little distant from the Lord Jesus Christ, or when you realize that you have a desire, and you want to really know the Lord Jesus Christ, how can I know the Lord Jesus Christ? The Lord Jesus Christ will be revealed the greatest to you in the breaking of bread. Say, well, preacher, I read my Bible every day, but I ain't really seen Him yet. Let me ask you something. Do you read your Bible just as a ritual in the mornings? Or when you have a really bad day, or you're in great trouble, do you run to the Scriptures and try to find some help? There's a difference. I mean, reading the Bible is awesome. We've got Bible reading plans. We read Proverbs a day. Some people do 5 Psalms a day, and that takes them through the 150 Psalms in a month. You know, I mean, there's all kind of ways to read your Bible from beginning to end. Some people like to start in the middle. Some people read a chapter here and a chapter there. Hey, however it works for you. I mean, it don't matter to me how you read your Bible, as long as you read your Bible. But there's something different. We're not talking about just reading our Bible. When we read the Bible, do we really look for the Lord Jesus Christ? Hey, do we go to the Bible and say, you know what? I got really a problem with this. I'm going to get me a concordance and look this word up, and I'm going to learn everywhere it occurs. You say, oh, preacher, I'm not a pastor. I don't need to study the Bible that way. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman who needeth not to be ashamed. What? Rightly dividing the word of truth. The reason you and I don't know the Lord Jesus Christ as well as we should is because we may read, but do we really break the bread? Do we really break it? Do we really study? Do we really prepare our hearts and our minds for that purpose? Do we really say, Lord, please show me something in the Word of God? Notice here, hey, He was revealed in breaking of bread. I wonder if these are some of the disciples that, hey, let's go back over here. Well, you got to go to the right, actually, not backwards. Look over in John chapter 6. You know what I believe? I don't believe it's just a coincidence. I believe Jesus, you say, well, He held their eyes, but I believe He opened their eyes with the breaking of bread. Why? Take your Bibles, look in John chapter number 6. Let me show you something here. Hey, John chapter number 6, in verse number 30, where are we at here? Let's look at verse number 25. And notice here, what's going on in John chapter 6, verse 25? Well, Jesus had just performed the miracle of the feeding of the 5,000. Now, if you'd watch Jesus do that miracle, I think I'm going to start following the Lord Jesus Christ. Why? Because when I'm hungry, He feeds me. That sounds like a good deal, right? I mean, just think about it. If there was somebody that you could follow around and every time they ate, they bought you a meal, that'd be a sweet ride, would it not? Jesus even said that. Look here in verse 25. And when they had found Him on the other side of the sea, they said unto Him, Rabbi, when camest thou hither? Jesus answered and said, verily, verily, I say unto you, ye seek Me not because ye saw the miracles, but because ye did eat of the loaves and were filled. You know what? There's a thought right there. Sometimes God will hold back. It's easy to seek God when you get full. To get filled. But it's harder to seek God when you're already full. I mean, think about it. How many of you Thursday afternoon, whenever you ate Thanksgiving dinner, how many of you after you had just poured all the turkey and dressing and stuffing and sweet potatoes and yams and green beans and casseroles and all that stuff had just filled yourself? How many of you wanted to go out and find a restaurant to eat at? I mean, if somebody had come along and said, hey, I'm going to go buy you lunch, you'd have said, no, I will pass. Right? That's the way I feel after I eat on Thanksgiving most of the time. You'll say, I'll pass. Say, why? Because you're full. You know what? That's why Jesus allows some of the lean times to come. Why? So that you can know Him. Folks, this is simply tonight. This is just about, number one, it's about knowing Him. But how do we know Him? It's going to be found in the Word of God. Notice here, verily, verse 27, labor not for the meat which perisheth, but for the meat which endureth unto everlasting life, which the Son of Man shall give you, for Him hath God the Father sealed. They said unto Him, what shall we do that we might work the works of God? The answer, Jesus answered, said unto them, this is the work of God, that ye believe on Him who He has sent. And they said unto Him, what sign showest thou then, that we may see Him? And believe, what doest thou work? Our fathers did eat manna in the desert, as it is written, He gave them bread from heaven to eat. Jesus said unto them, verily, I say unto you, Moses gave you not that bread from heaven, but My Father giveth you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is He which cometh down from heaven and giveth life unto the world. When they broke the bread, They saw the bread of life. They saw their greatest need. They saw their greatest supply. They saw everything that was missing in their little equation at the moment. You know what? When you're struggling in life and you're in that position, maybe you're sad of countenance, maybe you've lost your faith, maybe you're having a hard time believing the Word of God, you know what the best thing you could do would be? To simply go and break bread and let God show you Himself in that bread. Say, why? Because notice here, look at that, did you get it? I realize we use this for salvation, but it applies even more. For the bread, verse 33, for the bread of God is He which cometh down from heaven and giveth life unto the world. Verse 35, Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. Hey, I am the bread of life. Now what did He compare Himself to? He compared Himself to manna. Now take your Bibles. Let's look at something real quick. We ain't even gotten to the message tonight. We're still in the introduction. Look over in Exodus chapter 16. Let's go back and look at manna. How many of you know what manna is? After the service, somebody that knows what it is, explain it to me because I ain't figured it out yet. I know what it is, but I don't know what it is. You know what I mean? I never have understood exactly what manna was. You say, I don't think we're supposed to. You say, why? Bible calls it angel food. Which, by the way, that's where angel food cake comes from. You know what? I mean, boy, now they got this thing. Used to, it was called loaf bread, right? And then it was white bread, you know, because you got white bread and wheat, I guess. Then, you know, now some people call it light bread. That phrase comes from the Bible, too. I'll show you that in just a minute. Everything you got comes from the Bible. Now notice here, now there's something supernatural about this bread. That's why I don't really know exactly what it is. The Bible gives us a few facts, but we go over there to Exodus chapter 16. They say, why do you do this? Well, let me show you something. If you're willing to set, and you're willing to look, and you're willing to dig in the Scriptures, you can find some things about the Lord Jesus Christ. Say, Jesus wasn't even in the Old Testament. Yes, He was. He's all through it. We saw it this morning. But notice here in verse number 4, then said the Lord unto Moses, behold, I will rain bread from heaven for you, and the people shall go out and gather a certain rate every day, that I may prove them whether they will walk in my law or no. Now the manna was to prove them. You know what? Jesus Christ is to prove us the same way. He's a schoolmaster to bring us to, the law was a schoolmaster to bring us to Christ. But hey, it was to prove them, that the commandments were to prove them whether they'd follow God or not. You know what? Jesus Christ, hey, He's going to prove us whether we're going to follow God or not also. And it shall come to pass that on the sixth day they shall prepare that which they bring in, and it shall be twice as much as they gather daily. And Moses and Aaron said unto the children of Israel, at even, then ye shall know that the Lord hath brought you up out of the land of Egypt. And in the morning, then ye shall see the glory of the Lord, for He heareth your murmurings against the Lord, and what ye murmur. What are ye that ye murmur against us? And Moses said, this shall be when the Lord shall give you in the evening flesh to eat, and in the morning bread to the full. For the Lord heareth your murmurings which ye murmur against Him. And what are we, your murmurings, not against us, but against the Lord? Now those of you who study this out, you understand. That manna was supernatural. They woke up in the morning and it was on the ground. But let's look at some things here. Now you say, what is manna? Well, you can make manna a type of the Lord Jesus Christ, which it is. But more importantly, you can make it a type of the Word of God. Now remember, it's a type. It won't fit 100%. No type does. Jesus said, as the Son of Man, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so shall the Son of Man be lifted up. Hey, that type don't fit 100%. Jesus was on a cross. The serpent was on a pole. Jehovah's Witness take that today and try to tell you He was crucified on a pole, not a serpent. I mean, on a pole, not a cross. Say, why? You can't make a tight fit 100%. But now, there's going to be some things in this. Look at this here. Look in verse 14. And when the dew that was lay was gone up, behold, upon the face of the wilderness, there lay a small round thing, as small as the hoarfrost on the ground. You ever thought about how small the letters are that make up the Word of God? It's only 26 of them. Right? Is that right, you English teachers? There's 26 in the alphabet, right? 26, I think. All right. There's 26 letters. And only 5 of them are vowels. Unless you count Y, and I know that rule and all that nonsense. But notice, there's only 5 of those. You ever thought about that? what a small little thing the alphabet is until it becomes the words of the living God. Isn't it amazing what God can use? Look at this thing here. Hey, it was a small thing, as a hoar frost on the ground. Hey, notice here, and when the children of Israel saw it, they said unto another, it is manna, for they wist not what it was. Now, I've heard scholars try to say it was a plant. I've heard scholars try to say it was the dew. I've heard, hey, I know this. If Israel didn't know what it was, I don't think a scholar's going to know what it is. They would have known a plant. They would have known all that nonsense. Hey, look at this here. And Moses said unto them, this is the bread which the Lord hath given you to eat. And this is the thing which the Lord God hath commanded. Gather of it. Hey, look at verse 16. Gather of it every man. Every man. Gather of it every man according to his eating, an omer for every man according to the number of your persons. Take ye every man for them which are in his tents. And the children of Israel did so and gathered some more, some less. And when they did meet it with an omer, he that gathered much had nothing over, and he that gathered little had no lack. And they gathered every man according to his eating. Eating. I put it southern there. And Moses said, let no man leave of it till the morning. But notice here. You know what? It didn't matter whether you had five people live with you or whether you had 20 people that live with you. The bread was sufficient. You know what? The Word of God, it's a very small thing in the eyes of man. It's a very small thing when we break it up into individual letters. Only 26 letters are found, but they make up 31,102 verses that are the living words of the living God. Every one of them inspired. Say, what about the A's, the B's, the A's? Hey, I believe even the punctuation's inspired. I can show you some illustrations where you got to have it. But notice here, hey, the Bible says, notice this, hey, it's in some gathered more in verse 17, some more and some less. You know what? Hey, there's some things in the Word of God that the person next to you can get, and there's some things that you can't get. Hey, there's some things you can get, there'll be some things they can't get. You know what? It'll still meet every need you got. See it? Hey, you know what? Hey, the manna is the type of the Word of God. And you know what? Hey, Jesus Himself, He connected it with that. But notice, bread, it's a universal food. If you go everywhere in the face of the earth, they have some form of a grain or bread. Do they not? Manna is also called the corn of heaven over in Psalms. You make meal, you can make bread. Some of the best bread you can make is cornbread, right? Especially when it's sweet cornbread. Or when you make crackling cornbread. For those, y'all, anybody know what that is? Y'all don't know what crackling means? I just don't know what y'all missing. When we get to heaven, y'all figure it out. It's going to be there. But notice here, hey, the Bible says, hey, it's a universal food. It fits all ages. It fits all mankind. Hey, it fits every need. The Word of God, it's everything. And Jesus said, or the disciples said, when they broke bread, when He broke bread, they realized exactly who He was. You know what? The more you study and the more you're willing to break bread and the more you're willing to dig in that Bible and be frustrated and keep going back and keep going back and keep going back, you know what? The closer you can get to the Lord Jesus Christ. The closer you get to the Lord Jesus Christ, the better off you're going to be in all manner, shapes, and sizes in whatever you do for the Lord. Hey, not only that, the Bible says it had the taste of honey. I know we're not reading all the passages. Look over in verse 31. And the house of Israel called the name thereof manna. It was like unto a coriander seed. It was white. You know what? The Bible says, thy words are pure words. In Psalms 12 it says, thy word is purified seven times. White is the color of pure. White is always connected with purity. That's why brides are supposed to wear white. I know in the age we live in today, that don't mean anything anymore. But it used to. Hey, you know what? The Bible says white, the fine linen, white fine linen is white, and it's the righteousness of the saints. Over there, the bride hath made herself ready and put on the fine linen. It's righteousness of the saints. Over there, Revelation chapter 19. Hey, the Word of God is pure. The Word of God is righteous. Hey, manna is the type of the Word of God. And Jesus said, He said what? He said, I am the true bread. Not the fake bread. We got some of that around nowadays. It tastes pretty bad. Say, what are you talking about? I'm talking about real bread and fake Bibles. Same way. They both taste very bad. But notice here. Hey, the Bible says, hey, it was verse 31, it was like a coriander seed white, and the taste of it was like wafers made with honey. I don't know what that's like, but I imagine honey graham crackers. That's a wafer made with honey, is it not? Tastes pretty good to me. I don't know about you. You know, a lot of people put a honey on about anything. But you know what? Honey is the type of the Word of God. Why? In Psalms 119:103, you know what? He says, thy words are sweeter than honey. But we'd rather eat physically than eat spiritually a lot of the times. Folks, it's about knowing the Lord Jesus Christ. And the only way you're going to do that, the best way you're going to do that, I know you got to spend time with Him in prayer. I know you got to fellowship with Him. But you know what? You know where you really learn about Him? Is when, hey, when you say, Lord God, I need some help. And I need some direction. And I need some encouragement. Or I need some whatever it is you need. And you go to the Bible and He opens it up. And it meets your needs. There is a spiritual connection that takes place with you and God during those kind of times that you cannot get any other way. That's why He was revealed in breaking of bread. But let's look at what happens when you take it for granted. How many of you ever took it for granted? We've all taken the Lord for granted. We've all taken the Bible for granted. We've all taken literal food for granted. You know? I mean, there's people today that would give their right arm to eat what we ate on Thanksgiving dinner. You know, that became apparent for me. You know, I don't know if the guy was literal. I don't know if he had really done that. But that was the saying. That showed to me the sincerity. I remember one time when I went down to the prison. And it was for my regular Bible class. I went down there and one of them happened to ask me. They said, Preacher, what did you have for lunch today? And I said, well, I had a fried peanut butter and jelly sandwich. Man, some of you probably thinks that's gross. But that's probably one of the best things you can eat. Probably best thing for you too. I mean, fried, that just kills all the germs, and I mean it's purified after that, purified by fire, right? And put it in the fire. But anyway, we'll get back on track here. I told him I had a fried peanut butter and jelly sandwich, and I had some Lay's barbecue chips, and I had some. I probably had either a Snickers or either I had M&Ms. That was my typical dessert there when I would eat at my grandmother's house. And you know what? That guy looked at me and he said, Preacher, he said, I'd give my right arm for a peanut butter and jelly sandwich. And I thought, wow. Say, why? Because he didn't get peanut butter and jelly in prison. See, I thought, man, I'm just taking peanut butter and jelly for granted. I mean, most of you, I mean, that's one of the cheapest meals you can go out and buy, right? Or it used to be, anyway. You know? I've heard people in Bible college, you know, talk about 101 ways to fix peanut butter. Say, why? Because that's all they had. That's what they lived on when they was in Bible college. Or some of you might have lived on ramen noodles. I don't know. Ramen noodles. Whatever the correct terminology is there. Praise the Lord. I never had to eat those. But, I did. I'd taken that peanut butter for granted. You know what that showed me? There's always somebody that's worse off than what I am. You know what? But you know what happens when we take the Word of God for granted? Take your Bibles. Look over there. Real quick, look in Numbers. We got to get on to the sermon. It's short, I promise you. But this is what makes it rememberable. And that's a word. Look in Numbers chapter 21. Now I want you to see something. There's a connection. You know what? I don't understand it, but there's a connection. Hardships bring lost people to church. And they take saved people out of churches. I don't understand that, but it's the truth. You just live around church long enough and you'll figure that out. Hardships, it's right backwards. But you know what? There's a connection with being discouraged and not wanting to read the Word of God. Satan knows that and he loves it. and he thrives on it. You say, why? These people, hey, them two disciples on the road to Emmaus, what were they? They were sad. They weren't believing the Scriptures. They weren't believing the testimony of others. They had even lost their faith in the fact that Jesus was supposed to have risen from the dead. They had lost all of those things. And you know what? They couldn't see Him. Look here in Numbers. Look here in Numbers chapter 21. Hey, this is Israel marching in the wilderness. Verse 4. And they journeyed from Mount Hor by the way of the Red Sea to compass the land of Edom. And the soul of the people were much discouraged because of the way. Hey, I realize sometimes the way of life is hard. Sometimes the way of life is not easy. Sometimes it is the most discouraging thing that there ever will be. Hey, sometimes you just get discouraged in the way. But look at what happened as a result. The discouragement set in, and look at it, verse 20, verse 5. And the people spake against God and against Moses, wherefore have ye brought us up out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? For there is no bread, neither is it. That was a lie. Neither is there any water, and our soul loatheth. See it? Our soul loatheth this light bread. When you take the Word of God lightly, you'll loathe it. There'll be a time you say, preacher, I can never imagine a time when I wouldn't want to read the Bible. Get real discouraged in the way and forsake it. And you'll forsake the Word of God. Just decide, I don't really want to know the Lord Jesus Christ like I used to know Him. And you'll forsake the Word of God. You'll despise it. It'll be the hardest thing in the world to pick up and read. Say, why? Because they despise the manna. You know what? The last thing about that manna, you know what the thing it did? It sustained them until they reached the promised land. You know what's going to keep us till we reach the promised land? That book. Say, oh, I thought it was the Lord Jesus Christ. I realize that. And the way in which He gives you by it to be done is in that book. Now take your Bibles. Let's go all the way back over to Luke and we'll finish this thing out. Preacher, you say, what are we talking about here? We're talking about knowing the Lord Jesus Christ. We're talking about how can I know the Lord Jesus Christ? The disciples knew Him by the breaking of bread. You're going to know Him by the same thing. Now you say, boy, we painted a pretty grim picture of those disciples on the road to Emmaus, did we not? They were sad. They had lost their faith. They didn't believe the testimony of others. They didn't even know Jesus Christ when He showed up. Hey, they didn't even believe the Scriptures anymore. But look at what happened to them. After they broke bread and realized who the Lord Jesus Christ was. In Numbers chapter number 24, I'm sorry, Luke chapter 24. We were just in Numbers. Luke chapter 24, let me get my Bible over there. We'll look at it. You say, what are the results of breaking bread? Hey, what is the benefit? What is the results for my life of breaking bread even though I'm in the position of these two disciples? What are going to be the things that happen to me when I take time to come to the knowledge and the revelation of the Lord Jesus Christ through the breaking of bread? Hey, look at verse number 32. And they said one to another, did not our hearts burn within us? You know what? Hey, the first thing is, hey, you may not realize what it is. You may not even realize who Jesus is really at the moment, but that heart will start to burn. There'll start to be a little fire that kindles on the inside, and it's not explainable. You'll start to have that, but you know what? Be careful. Devil's coming to quench it. I got a sermon on this that I preach, how to stop heartburn. And it's one of them things where you take Tums, T-U-M-S, and you use words that go along with that. But notice here, hey, the Bible said their heart, they said, hey, did not our hearts burn within us while He taught with us by the way and while He opened unto us the Scriptures? Hey, when you start to have a little heartburn, that's one of the greatest things you could have, especially in regards to the Word of God. Hey, you know what you do when you get a little spark and you're trying to build a fire? You put a little kindling on it. And then once you get it going, then what do you got to do? You got to put some more wood on it. And then you may even want to put some fuel on that thing. Hey, if you're in desperate need of a fire, hey, you don't pour water on it, do you? Put fuel on the thing. Notice here, when you began to break bread and you get a little bit of, hey, they didn't even fully know Jesus yet, but they didn't know who He was yet, but they there was something inside of them and it was starting to burn. That's the result of breaking bread and searching for the Lord. Hey, you know what? Hey, there's sometimes when I look at a passage of Scripture and there'll be something that's kind of like a little burning inside of there. It's like, boy, I know there's something there. I know there's something there, but I can't quite see it yet. I know there's something there. You know what the devil will say? He'll say, well, just quit fooling with it. You'll get it later. He'll say, oh, you don't need to know that. He'll try to kindle that fire. I mean, he'll try to not kindle it. I'm sorry. He'll try to quench that fire. That's what happens. But look at this. Hey, number one. Hey, your heart will burn within you. Look at number two. I want you to look at something here in verse number 33. And they rose up the same hour. You say, why is that important? Well, look back to verse 29. Before the Lord Jesus Christ was revealed in breaking bread, but they constrained Him, saying, abide with us, for it is toward the evening, and the day is far spent. And He went in to tarry with them. Hey, they were too tired to go any further until the Lord broke bread. And when they got that bread and they realized who Jesus Christ was, boy, hey, they had energy to carry themselves on down the road. I mean, look at it. What does it say in verse 33? And they rose up the same hour. Hey, they forgot about how tired they were. They forgot about how discouraged they were. They forgot about how long the journey might be. They weren't looking at anything, but you know what? They said, hey, we got to go back and we got to tell the others. You want some encouragement? You want some energy? You want some zeal to get up and do the things once you've kind of sat down before? Break the bread of life. You won't get it anywhere else. Say, I'm going to drink a five-hour energy. You'll crash. This is the only... Hey, you know what? Hey, God sustained Moses on the mount for 40 days and 40 nights. Now, I'm not saying do that literally. Who sustained him? God sustained him. That's what the Word of God's about. Elijah was sustained for 40 days. Same thing. I know those were types of Christ. Jesus Christ was sustained 40 days and 40 nights without eating. How did He do it? It was the power of God. But notice here. Not only did their heart burn within them. Not only did they have strength and for the action. But you know what? Their faith was restored. Look at verse 34. Saying, the Lord is risen indeed and hath appeared unto Simon. Now, either one of them was Simon, which I don't think he was, or they were believing somebody else's report. Did you get it? And they arose and found them, the 11, gathered together, and they that were with them, saying, the other people were saying, the Lord is risen indeed and hath appeared unto Simon, and they believed it. They were believing the report now. They were believing what God said, what the others were saying, that He had appeared unto Simon. They didn't believe the ladies, but now they're believing the report. You say, why? Because the more you read the Bible, the more faith you have to believe it. The more you practice what God says, the more faith you're going to have to do it anymore in your life. The closer you get and the more knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, the more you're going to have it later on down the road. It's the result of breaking of bread. Their hearts did burn. There was strength for action. Their faith was restored. And then look at verse 35. And they told what things were done in the way. They had a story to tell. You know why most Christians have no story to tell? Because God's not doing anything for them. But it ain't God's fault. It's theirs. You know what? We have lots of missionaries. We have lots of preachers. We have lots of people come through and give great testimonies. And probably from time to time you've said, boy, I wish something like that would happen in my life. You got to be seeking it. You got to be seeking God. Hey, if you never break the bread of life, how's God going to do anything? How is He going to show you anything miraculous? You know, that was one of the first reasons I ever had a desire that I wanted to teach was, you know, once I started studying the Bible and I started learning the thing, I'd think, boy, that is so cool. And I really understand how that Scripture goes with that Scripture. And I understand that now. Boy, that really helped me and that makes sense to me. And what do I want to do? I want to tell it to others. I mean, I probably taught and I probably preached things sometimes and people are like, I don't got a clue of what He's talking about. But maybe somebody does. All I know is if I see something really cool in the Scriptures, first thing I want to do is give it to other people. Say, what did those people do? They had a story to tell. Why do Christians today not have a story to tell? Because they don't have a knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Maybe nothing's going on in their life. Why? Because they've gotten discouraged and they've forsaken the way and they loathe this light bread. See, what is it about, folks? It's about breaking the bread. How can I know the Lord Jesus Christ? Where's the Lamb? How can I know the Lord? How can I put all these things together? It's going to be found in the breaking of bread. And I don't mean just reading the Bible. There's study. There's diligence. There's searching. There's coming to church, hearing the Word of God. Whether it's Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, whether it's special meeting time, whatever it is, the more you can get around preaching, if you can find good preaching on the radio, if you can find good books that help you with the Bible, hey, what? Don't forsake the Bible for the books, but you know what I mean. Hey, use whatever you can to help you learn about the Bible. Just don't replace the Bible with it. But it's about breaking the bread of life. The disciples' eyes were holding until they broke bread. But as soon as they broke bread, they knew Him and He vanished. Now some of you are probably thinking, well, if I could get the Lord Jesus Christ to physically show up right here and break me some bread, that'd solve all my problems. You know what they realized? As soon as they got their eyes focused back on Him and were believing the book again, He vanished out of their sight. Folks, we got all that we need right there. We just got to stick with it. I know it'd be great if the Lord Jesus Christ had come down and sat down at your coffee table and say, I want you to do this, 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 and this. I don't want you to do this. I don't want you to do it that way. And I want you to do this. And I want you to allow your kid to do this or not do that. I want you to, you know, I want you to take your wife to this place and not that place. And I want you to have this job and I want your wife to have that job. Yeah, I understand. Boy, that'd be great if God come down and sit and tell us that, would it not be? But you know what? We can have a personal relationship with Him in that book where it's just like He's sitting there telling us those things. Paul said that I may know Him and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His sufferings. That ought to be our goal tonight. It was His goal for us. It ought to be our goal. How am I going to do that? Going to have to break some bread. Over and over and over and over. Why? Because it's the only thing that's going to sustain us until we reach the promised land where it ends, where our faith shall end inside, as that song says. And I look forward to that day. But you know what? It might be tonight, but it might not be. It might be tomorrow, but guess what? It might not be. And until then, we've got to keep on doing the things that God would have us to do. Let's pray. Lord God, we thank You for the day. Thank You so much for Your Word. Lord God, I thank You for all the men and women and all the sacrifice and all the lives and the blood was spilled that You used and You worked in those lives to have a translation given unto us. To have the Word of God given unto us where we can read it in freedom here in our own country today. And Lord God, we don't have to hide it or we don't have to meet in secret. It's not a banned book yet in our society. But Lord God, we thank You for the Word of God. Help us to not loathe the bread, the manna, Lord God, as the children of Israel did. Help us, Lord God, to see You in the breaking of bread. Help us not to be discouraged by the way. Help us to have a heart burning within us for the things of the Word and for the knowledge of You. Help us, Lord God, here tonight to be faithful and be more diligent in our studies of the Word of God. To be looking for You and answers from You and direction from You and wisdom from You and help from You. And be willing to put ourselves aside in the process. And Lord God, we thank You so much here tonight for all these folks that's gathered. Give us safety, Lord God, as we go our separate ways. Help us as we do the things You'd have us to do this week. May You be glorified in them. And may You be pleased with what's said and done here tonight and what is accomplished. And Lord, what goes what accomplishes through the Word over the weeks. And Lord God, as it works in our hearts and in our lives. We thank You for it. Give us safety. And Lord, we do thank You for allowing us to be here. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. But I want you to think about that. As you go your ways tonight, think about the disciples where eyes were opened. When they broke bread, that's not a coincidence, folks. That's given to us as an admonition and as a warning. Amen.